I remember how fast it was spinning, the water gliding off my fingertips as the slimy texture whipped through my hands. I remember feeling as if I were in total control and yet that I had no control at all. It was exhilarating and terrifying. My kindergarten teacher hovered over my right shoulder as I played God with my clay creation. She kneeled and spoke softly, trying not to distract the other gods in the room from their clay creations. "It looks like you're getting the hang of it." My gaze shifted to the kid-sized potter's wheel in front of me. The lump of clay I had started with seemed slightly more formed than 15 minutes ago, but not much. I wanted to make my mom a new coffee mug. I had been looking forward to this all week so that I could surprise her, but so far it looked like I was trying to make her a clay pancake. "Thanks, Mrs. Tuttle," I responded. She pulled a pen out from behind her ear, taking notes as if she was getting ready to move on to the next god, but she picked up on my disappointment. "What's wrong, Luke?" She seemed genuinely concerned. I didn't see any harm in being honest. "All I've done is make a mess. Look at this thing." She searched my expression for the right words of encouragement, clicking her pen at a ferocious pace as she mulled over her words carefully. "I don't expect elementary art projects to be perfect, Luke. This is about having fun. Your mom is going to love whatever you make, I promise." She put her hand on my shoulder as if that would be enough to console the perfectionist in me. One thing elementary age perfectionists do not want to hear is, "It doesn't have to be perfect." If Michelangelo wouldn't fall on his face in tears over the mere sight of my work, then it wasn't good enough. "I know she'll like it. She has to. She's my mom. I just want it to be perfect. It's a mess right now." The other students started looking at us, thinking I was in trouble because of how long our conversation had carried on while they all spun their creations and laughed. Mrs. Tuttle caught on to this as well. She stood up, looked down at me, and said, "Luke, without the mess, there is no message. Your mom is going to love what this message means. I promise. Keep working on it. You're doing great." I watched her scurry over to the neighboring tables, still feverishly clicking her pen. My classmates seemed to be enjoying the pottery lesson much more than I was. I thought, "Yeah, but without me, there is no mess." That statement from a younger me packed a lot more truth than I realized. Mrs. Tuttle's comments were true as well. That wouldn't be the last time I heard the words, "Without the mess, there is no message." I'm sure you've heard that saying. But if you peel back the layers, you find that without me, there is no mess. Messes are chapters in life. They are part of your story, but they aren't the point of your story. There is nearly unsearchable depth to the human soul. Only Jesus can reach our darkest corners, shine light on them, and beckon to us as we try to hide ourselves in them. He promises us a better way, the way. Every person we come into contact with has, is, or will be going through something. I may not know what that something is, but the good news is that Jesus left the glory of heaven to meet you in your mess, wash you clean, and call you His. We don't like messy. We want our lives to appear as clean as possible. We live in a culture that values pretty lies over ugly truths. We fear that if people knew about the messiness in our lives, then we would always be associated with that mess, labeled by it.